Welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast with your host, Matthew M.
Hello and welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast, where we are clean and serene with a filthy mind in between. I am your host, Matthew M., and I am an addict in recovery. Welcome, everybody. We are on episode 11. Welcome back, or if it's your first time, welcome for the first time, and hopefully we'll be able to say welcome back next episode. Really want to give a huge shout out to everybody for all of the support. We've been growing. Our numbers have been going up. It's been a beautiful thing. And I absolutely love the connections that I've been able to make with people just discussing this podcast and, you know, giving that opportunity to discuss recovery. And it's really just been such a beautiful process. And I couldn't have done it without every single one of you out there who's, you know, liking the videos, downloading the podcast, doing everything to support us. I really, really, really appreciate it. I am full of gratitude. Before we go any further, got to give a shout out to our episode sponsor, Etc. by Emily. She is one of the greatest providers of staffing for parties, for events, or if you're looking for a job. They've got tons of opportunities there. So if you are interested in any of those things, make sure to check her out in the description below. Also have to give a huge thank you to Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland, and Mad Decent Records for allowing us to the privilege to use the amazing song Anything as our theme music for this podcast. All the download information is available below in the description. Also, before we go any further, have to give a huge thank you to our VIP supporters. Those are the people who are helping support us with donations on Patreon. Everybody who donates on Patreon will get one of these awesome Clean and Filthy podcast stickers. So if you're interested in that, make sure to check out our social media links on the website, www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. And in the top right corner is the Patreon link. So you can get a shout out at the beginning of the episodes like these wonderful people. And they are Stephanie, Char, Clint, and Alex. Thank you all for your continued support and helping this product, you know, get better. The money that I get off of that is invested right back into putting together as good a product as I possibly can for the listeners and the viewers, and also, you know, to help whoever stumbles across this at some point. So hopefully, you know, other people do, and your donations are incredibly appreciated. So thank you all. Also, hello and welcome. I know we got some new listeners out there. I've seen the numbers been going up from new places. It's exciting. I get to look in at all of my download statistics. And I will admit, I get a little obsessive compulsive with it. And I might possibly check it multiple times an hour. I'm not saying I do this, but I'm not saying. So big shout out. We've been getting downloads in places that, you know, I don't know anybody personally. So somebody out there is sharing, you know, this podcast, and I really appreciate it. So if you're here for the first time, stick around. Maybe you'll hear something you like. And if you do, please share it. We're really trying to grow. We're trying to help as many people as we can and get the word out about recovery and what we do here. So, you know, if you're new, stick around. If you hear something you like, share it. If you hear something you don't like, contact me. I want to know. I love engaging in debates. So please just send anything over, positive, negative. I like hearing from people. So again, thank you, everybody who's out there liking, commenting, subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go over to youtube.com and subscribe. It really helps our channel grow. And a big shout out to everybody on YouTube watching the live stream right now. What up, chat? I love going afterwards and reading the chat. It's a lot of fun for me. So what up, everybody? If you're listening to this on a podcast directory and you want to partake in our live stream, we do this every single Tuesday, 5 p.m. Arizona time, live on youtube.com. We then will download it and it can be consumed wherever you get your podcasts from. So if you're on YouTube right now, if you wouldn't mind, head over wherever you download podcasts, throw us a download. Really helps our numbers go up. And if you're listening on a podcast directory right now and you have a YouTube account, please head over to youtube.com, search for the Clean and Filthy Podcast, and throw us a subscribe. We are almost to the goal of 100 subscribers. I just want that custom URL for the podcast. So please help me get those numbers up, because I don't want to resort to like setting up ghost burner YouTube accounts just to do it. I'm trying to be spiritual. I don't have to live like that anymore. So again, shout out to everybody wherever you're getting this message, and I'm really glad that you're here. So before we go into our first segment, we got to talk about what we are, what we do, what we don't do. So again, my name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery, and I am your host here on the Clean and Filthy Podcast. We are a 12-step recovery-based podcast. We work off of the 12 steps and traditions of recovery. We do not discuss any specific fellowships here because I want to make sure that we stay in line with the traditions. Again, I will not be speaking from a point of authority or giving my recommendations on any one specific fellowship or what my home group is or what meetings I specifically go to. But if you have questions about that, please reach out to me. I would be more than happy to help guide you, you know, to a meeting, to a treatment center, to a recovery residence or sober living, you know, how to get those things. I would be more than happy to help. But we just aren't going to be doing that on this podcast to make sure we stay in line with the traditions. But reach out to me directly. My email is matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com. And I would be more than happy to help with that. But again, this is a podcast to help build information and knowledge and understanding about what recovery is. But this is not a 12-step meeting. It's based on, you know, 12-step recovery, but this is not a meeting. This should not replace going to a meeting or calling your sponsor or working steps or being of service. We're just here to help build a community for people that have questions about recovery, about addiction, about what addicts in recovery go through, about if, you know, maybe you don't know if you're an addict or not. This could be a good place to start. So this podcast truly is for anybody and everybody who has been affected by addiction in any way. And that is most of us these days. So even if you're not an addict, stick around. Maybe you'll hear something you like, or maybe you'll hear something that, you know, maybe you think somebody else would like, and send it over to them. So that's what we do. Again, we're just here trying to carry the message, of recovery and, you know, give more information about that. So I'm more than happy. If you have more specific questions than what we cover in the episode, reach out to me, please. I will happily, you know, dive into it a little bit deeper. But that's what we do. It's what we don't do. And let's get into our first segment.
Let's head to the lab for some R&D. Recovery and development.
That's right, y'all. Our first segment of the week of every week is called R&D, Recovery and Development. This is the part of the show where we discuss a step or a tradition or a concept or a spiritual principle or other, you know, general topics that we go over in recovery, different things that are the foundation of our recovery. No matter what fellowship it is, it's the, you know, the foundation of our recovery. So again, you might not be an addict and you might be thinking, why am I going to hang out here and listen to this addict talk about recovery stuff? Well, my friends, the beautiful thing about recovery is that drugs are not the main part of it. You know, I talk about this all the time. I came into recovery thinking I had a drug problem. I stick around because I realized I had a me problem. And the best way to learn about me and to grow and to become a better human being is by working steps and traditions and concepts and, you know, defining spiritual principles and then putting them into my life. So you might not be an addict, but stick around. You might hear something that maybe helps, because at the end of the day, drugs are just a symptom of my problem. You know, the core is the disease of addiction. So stick around, you might hear something you like. Well, we are on step 11 this week. That's right. Episode 11, step 11. So what does step 11 say? All right. It says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. All right, there's a lot to unpack here, right? There's a lot of different things going on. First off, before we even get into the spiritual principles, we got to look, I know that God, capital H, I get it, still a little spooky. Remember, as we've talked about in previous episodes, especially episode 2 and episode 3, that term of God, if you have an issue with it, find something that works for you personally. That's what I did. When I first came into the program, I had an issue with the word God. I had an issue with the capital H of Him. Because I had that such a closed mind to any concept of a higher power outside of an organized religious type of, you know, connotation. But as we've talked about before, in recovery, all that matters is we find something, a higher power that works for us. So if you have an issue with that word God, change it to whatever. Change it to group of drug addicts. Change it to good orderly direction. Change it to Sky Daddy. Change it to higher power. Change it to whatever works for you. Because at the end of the day, that's what recovery is all about. Finding what works for you, or for me in this, you know, perspective. So what works for me is realizing that God doesn't need to be that Judeo-Christian type of figure that I saw throughout my upbringing. God, for me, whenever I see that word, I automatically change it to higher power. And to the point that sometimes when I'm doing a reading and it has the word God, I have to tell myself not to say higher power because I'm so used to doing it. So I found what works for me. So again, don't be scared of that. If the word prayer scares you, we'll get to that a little bit further as well. So there can be some fear in this step, but there doesn't need to be. So as we always do, before we get into anything else, we got to look at what the spiritual principles are for this step. So the spiritual principles within step 11 are awareness, surrender, open-mindedness, belief and faith, determination, patience, and humility. And really, this is, I could have kept going on and on and on and on, because there are so many things within this step that have built off the past 10 steps. And, you know, if you haven't heard the other episodes of this podcast, please go check them out. The episodes are in order for a reason, because the steps are in order for a reason. We do one step each week, start in episode 1, come through here, you'll be up to step 11. So you have a better understanding about it. So if you don't understand the previous steps, I recommend going and checking them out so you have a good understanding of what we're going over here today. So within this you know, spiritual principle aspect, my one of my favorite lines out of the literature, it says surrender, because surrender is so important within this step. It says surrender. The stumbling block of our addiction has become the cornerstone of our recovery. And that is so true. You know, we talk about how important that initial surrender is in the first step. Well, in step 11, we get to keep building off of that surrender on a daily basis, ideally, because the more that we are in a conscious contact with our higher power, the more we are praying and meditating, the more that we are affirming our surrender. So that's why I love that line, because it's so important within the surrender element of step 11, which sometimes I think can get overlooked. I think a lot of times that surrender part kind of gets overlooked, not thinking about, for my opinion, when I sit and pray, I'm acknowledging my surrender. When I sit and meditate, I'm acknowledging my need for spiritual guidance, that I can't do it on my own, that I am powerless. So that's the tie-in with the surrender, why I think it's so important there. It says also in the literature, because our spiritual condition is the basis for a successful recovery that offers unlimited growth, the 11th step is very important. I'll admit, when I was first, you know, reading the steps on the wall, sitting in treatment, I looked at the 11th step and I was confused. I was confused, like, first off, I didn't like it, you know. Previously mentioned, it had that capital G and that capital H, but I was confused because all the other steps at this point seemed, you know, like they had some major weight behind it. It was like, all right, step 4, we're making a list of all the shit we've done, all the resentments. All right, step 6, we're listing how much of a piece of shit we were. All right, step 8, we're listing all the things that we, you know, all the people we fucked over. All right. And obviously, this was also with like 10 days clean. So my perspective has changed quite drastically. But I'm looking at step 11 and I'm like, I don't get it. Because at that point, I was so spiritually, now I won't say bankrupt, because to me, bankrupt implies that I had spirituality at one point and then lost it. I had never developed any element of true spirituality within myself that I had ever really realized. So I can't say I was spiritually bankrupt. I was so spiritually embryonic, spiritually infinitesimal. One of those will work. There wasn't much spirituality there, if any. So I couldn't even say that I was spiritually bankrupt. So that concept, when I'm reading the 11th step, it seemed so foreign to me. I didn't understand the value of spirituality, because as we talk about, recovery is about spirituality. It is not a religious program. It is a spiritual one. And that can be difficult for a lot of people. We've talked about that. That element of separating, you know, spirituality from religion, especially when a lot of us have a connotation in our mind that they are very intertwined when they're not. They can be. You could be incredibly spiritual within your religion, but they don't have to be, because I can be incredibly spiritual and have absolutely no tie to any kind of organized religion. That's the beautiful thing and why this program works, why it says a God of your understanding. Not this God or that God, whatever the God is that works, right? So within that spirituality, we've been building up to this. We've been using the last 10 steps as the framework. The purpose of this step is to increase our connection with that higher power and learn better ways and means to use that power, to use that safety, that comfort, that reliance on something greater that we've been building up through. That's why this really is such an important step, and it's often overlooked. The 11th step is often overlooked. A lot of people I've seen, I almost feel like once you finish the 9th step, it's kind of just whatever after that, but that's so not true. Because some of the most important parts of my recovery have come from the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. So while the 11th step, when you're first reading, it might seem a little like, all right, well, whatever, but there's so much in it. And the growth that we can make from it, the changes in our life that we can make from it, is absolutely massive. So it says in the literature, it says that in the 11th step, our lives take on a deeper meaning. By surrendering control, we gain a far greater power. Again, talking about that surrender. When we get a deeper meaning in our lives, we are able to literally have more power within a situation, which is interesting. You know, like it's interesting that the more my greatest strength, as it says, is from the spirit. And that might sound weird to somebody who doesn't have any kind of, you know, who was spiritually infinitesimal like I was. But the more we do it, the more that it works. But the most important thing before we get to this point, and hopefully if you have worked the prior 10 steps to the best of your ability, you have a good understanding of the belief structure that works for you, because this step will not work if there isn't a belief structure that works. And again, it's whatever works for you. For me, it's not whatever works for that person. Maybe I'll take some of what works for them and I'll, you know, augment it for me. It's not what works for my sponsor or my sponsee. It's what works for me. And the beautiful thing is there truly is no wrong way. As we talked about in episode 2, all our higher power needs to be, which is the starting point for our spirituality, at least for somebody like me who had no spirituality and had no higher power. That starting point just needs to be loving, caring, and greater than me. That's all I need. Don't need to do more than that. So remember, whatever it is that we develop, whatever we develop that works for us, it needs to work for us. And while it can definitely grow and change, which we'll talk about, there has to be some level of it working to really work this step. How can we, you know, develop a conscious contact with a higher power that we don't fully buy into? We don't have a full belief system on. I don't know if it would work. Thankfully for me, I didn't have to worry about that. But if that is something that you struggle with, I would personally suggest really looking at that second and third step again. Because I don't personally see how it would be possible to get to an 11th step and not have at least somewhat of a belief structure, having worked a second and third step, you know, completely to the best of my ability. But again, that's just my experience, strength, and hope. So what are the things we discuss in there? We talk about prayer and we talk about meditation. All right. Prayer, again, word's a little scary. Don't love that word. But now I've gotten to the point where I'm all right with that. You know, again, it comes down to finding what works for us. What works for me individually. And for it might look completely different than what works for somebody else. Somebody else might pray, you know, how they do in you know, the Muslim religion. Somebody else might pray the way they do in the Christian religion. Somebody else might pray the way I do, just by saying thank you to what I don't know, but I don't need to know. All I know is that I'm asking for guidance. All I know is that I'm being grateful for what I've received. Whatever, wherever it's from, whatever the end, you know, whatever the wherever it came from does not matter. What matters is that for me, I found a way of prayer that works. Again, there's no right way or wrong way to do it. All that matters is that we do it. And we don't just do it when things are bad. And, you know, we do it constantly. That's why this step takes determination. It takes, you know, developing every single day that habit, that practice of, okay, I'm going to pray. Okay, I'm going to pray. So again, it's whatever works. Now, when it comes to meditation, now this is something, you know, that can be a little bit more difficult for a lot of us. You know, I had meditated prior to getting into recovery, never that successfully, but I had meditated. And it can look, again, very different depending on what works for you. I found for me personally, quieting this chaos can be difficult. You know, I know some people who can sit in a room for 30 minutes and just connect with whatever, and that works for them. That does not work for me. I know anybody that you know, was listening to this, that went to treatment with me, when we would do body scan, which is a form of meditation, 45-minute body scan. Nah, bruh. Got about 6 minutes in. Then the brain went crazy. Then I fell asleep. That didn't work for me. And that's okay. And maybe it would in the future. I don't know. I hated body scan, so I've never tried it again. But for me personally, one of the best ways is guided meditation. And there are apps on every type of device, on YouTube, on so many different places that have different types of guided meditation for all different levels of skill. And that's the thing, is prayer and meditation are skills. You know, they are something that by doing more and more, we get better and better at. You know, like the best of anything did it over time. They do it by practice. That's why this is a practice, the practice of meditation. And I will admit, I need a lot more practice with it, because I still have difficulty a lot of days of really just stilling the mind. You know, I've heard one of my friends, an addict, shared one of the greatest things in the beginning was just lighting a candle and staring at it, just focusing on that. For me, one of my meditations that I go to when I don't have my app or something to do is I imagine that I'm floating in a cloud, and I just focus on that cloud and I make it a color. My cloud is always purple. I don't know why. I like purple, as you can tell by my purple mic wire here. And I'm floating in a purple cloud. And then I get brought down next to a flowing stream. And each thought that I have, if it pops into my head, I let it go down the stream. And some days I'm really successful. And some days I am really not successful. Some days I only have to put a couple things down that stream. And other days it is a nonstop flow of things that just keep popping in my head. But that's okay, because this is a practice. It's what we do. You know, one of the things, the main point of meditation is to still the mind. That is the main point, is to reduce the noise, the static of life, of daily living of life on life's terms. It's to limit that and to be present. Be present within the moment. As we talked about last week on my favorite moment of the week, just being present. So that is the point of meditation. Still the mind and be able to receive. You know what, one of the things it says in the literature, it says the usual never-ending succession of thoughts has to cease for progress to be made. And I will say, sometimes for me, that cessation of those thoughts, that's a good word.
That part.
That cessation of those thoughts is very, very, very short. It might be very short, but even in that moment of stillness, even if it is just a moment, that's growth. That's progressing within this practice. One of the things that it's said, and it's mentioned a lot, is that prayer is asking for help. Meditation is listening for the answer. And so there will be times where specific topics can be, you know, prayed upon. And now one thing I want to mention is that I'm not saying we pray for specific things. That in itself is a selfish act. And if we're acting in self, then we're not acting in our higher power's will. So if I'm sitting there praying for a new Lamborghini, you know, praying for to hit the jackpot, that's a selfish prayer. If I'm praying, you know, for guidance as to how I can help a newcomer or how I can better connect with a sponsee who's having issues with this part of a step, that's a selfless prayer. That's a spiritual prayer. It's not a selfish prayer. And when I have those different topics and those different, you know, things that come up on life, prayer is one of the greatest ways to kind of let it go. You know, the saying that I've said before, the let go and let God, which, that saying still gets to me on days. But that's essentially what I'm doing. And that's one of the reasons that I love, you know, guided meditations, because guided meditations often will be on a topic. And so I can look at a part of my life. This was especially good when I was working my 10th step last time and I was doing my daily check-in and I'm looking at specific things that would come up and I'm like, I need to meditate on that. You know, my ego's flaring up a little bit. Let's meditate on that. I'm feeling kind of all over the place and anxious. Let's meditate on feeling serene. Let's meditate on calm. Let's calm the mind. So there are great options for that. So if you're new to meditation and you're confused and you don't know where to start, hit me up or just literally Google meditation for beginners. I'm sure something will come up. Mental health, you know, has become such an important part of everybody's life, but especially, you know, within athletes and musicians, and, you know, meditation is becoming a much more commonly known practice. So there are definitely resources out there. So again, you know, prayer is asking for help. Meditating is listening for that answer. And like I said before, just because something didn't work in the past doesn't mean that it won't work for us now. Very possibly, I might need to try doing a body scan again because it might be the key to success for meditation for me personally. I don't think it will be, but it might be. Still don't think it will be, but it might be. I don't know. But again, it's about being open-minded, the spiritual principle of open-mindedness and willingness. All right. So maybe that's what I need to try. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. Then I keep going and find something that does. This line in the literature I love, it says, our understanding of a higher power grows and changes through prayer and meditation. We find that it is too limiting to define our higher power in such a way that our understanding is set in stone once and for all. And
that part.
I love when the literature just speaks my experience, my story, because that is so me. You know, as I said in episode 2, I don't know what my higher power is. You know, I've got some ideas of what it's not, but my understanding has ebbs and flows. And therefore, the way that I maintain conscious contact with that higher power has ebbs and flows. You know, there might be a time where I'm, you know, really doing well with my prayer, and I start slacking off. Maybe I'm not praying every morning. Well, now I need to find new ways. Maybe, you know, I'm not doing the typical sit on a mountaintop, you know, butt naked in nature and meditate for 5 days. Maybe I'm not doing that. Maybe I should try that. I don't know. But those are the things that we try. And again, just because something didn't work doesn't mean that it can't in the future. Regardless of if it's your higher power or the way that you connect with your higher power, we always have to remain open-minded and teachable. Because I'm not the same person that I was over 38 months ago. I'm not the same person I was over 24 months ago or even over 12 months ago. Because as an addict in recovery, if I'm doing the best of my ability to continue growing, then I can't be the same person. I'm going to always be growing and changing. So therefore, something new or old might become new and it might work. So just for me personally, I need to remind myself of that I need to always stay open-minded and willing to try things that maybe didn't work in the past, but very well could now. So now we get to the next part, conscious contact. Well, what does that mean? What does conscious contact mean? So being conscious simply means being awake or aware. So that to me speaks to the element that we aren't, that's what consciousness is, right? But conscious contact, that contact part speaks to action in my mind. And this is my opinion on my experience, strength, and hope and how this worked. For me, that's like saying, okay, I'm conscious that there's a higher power, but the conscious contact is not just knowing it's there, but making an effort to develop that relationship. It's making that effort to strengthen that need for guidance, that strengthen that belief, strengthen that sense of hope. So I have to keep a conscious contact. And I do that by prayer. I do that by meditation. I do that by sitting with my thoughts, by sitting with the situation, by sitting with a feeling, and then asking for guidance on it. That is improving my conscious contact. It says in the literature, it says the conscious contact described in this step is the direct result of living the steps. Because we don't just work the steps, we live them. We add them into our lives. And that conscious contact, you know, comes from the growth and the work that I've been doing, that we've been doing. That's how this builds. That's literally what it says right in the literature there. So, all right, I can understand conscious contact. I need to make sure I'm in contact to build this relationship and to build this sense of strength and this sense of power. All right, cool. But now what's God's will for us? Right? Now we're going to get into that same thing that we talked about in the third step. This is just growing off of that. This is growing from that initial thought process of what is my higher power's will? What does that mean? How do I align? I don't get it. Help me, that I initially had when working the third step. The beautiful thing is that now that I'm on the 11th step, I've had 8 more steps of developing that relationship, of understanding more of what my higher power's will is for me. But it was still difficult at times. You know, there were still times where I would try to lump everything. Oh, it's my higher power's will. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to procrastinate. But is that really spiritual? Is that really spiritual? Is it really my higher power's will for me to procrastinate? And most people will have a somewhat similar perspective of what their higher power's will is. Obviously, there's going to be some variety in there. But for most people that I've talked to, you know, people feel that their higher power's will is to be a good person, to live, you know, a good life, to be of service, to not be running around causing chaos, running amok, you know, all the things that myself and most of us did in our active addiction. That's not our higher power's will. That's my self-will. That's my addiction talking. That's not my higher power's will. I believe my higher power wants to see me do well. And the image of the kind of person that we would like to be, when we have those moments to say, wow, I'd like to go back to school. Or I could see myself, you know, being a lawyer. Or I could see myself with a year clean and having worked the 12 steps. All those are fleeting glimpses of God's will for us. So when we have those glimpses, for me personally, it gives me more push, more motivation to continue developing my spirituality. Because I like those glimpses. I like seeing those things. I like seeing the man I'm becoming and then looking at the man I could be. I like that. One of the greatest feelings is seeing growth for me personally. Seeing that I'm not the same person that I was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. Honestly, I'm pretty similar for the last year because of COVID, other than put on 20 pounds. But, you know, my spiritual growth is growing. Maybe not at the same rate that it had been prior to COVID, but we do the best we can with what we've got, right? So I can't talk about anything about my higher power's will without mentioning my favorite quote in any piece of literature that I have ever read. And this is something that gave me so much guidance when I was struggling on my third step and still gives me so much guidance on a daily basis. And it says, "We begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings." If that's my higher power's will, we're good. I don't have to worry about trying to find all these little elements to try and make sure my will is aligned with my higher power's will. All I need to do is go back to that. And I have gone back to this quote more times than I could count. Highlighted, underlined, starred, hearted. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone back to this quote. Because there'll be times where an overthinker like me, man, I can rationalize and just mentally masturbate my thought processes until I'm justifying and I'm creating what I want. And then I'll find some way to say, that's my higher power's will, though. When I look at this, when I look at this quote, that tells me everything I need to know. That's it. Live with dignity. That's a big one. That's a big one for me. Because I could justify and be like, oh, well, you know, I love myself. I'm loving others. I'm making them laugh. I'm finding joy and beauty. But I'm not living with dignity. Then I'm not living in my higher power as well. If I'm doing something that lowers my sense of values or morals or just living in an undignified way, then I'm directly against what that says. I love that that part is first. Not after all those other things, because my addict mind would read those other things first and be like, yep, I'm doing all those. I'm just not going to look at that dignity thing. But it's first. So no matter what else within that, that sentence is accomplished, if I haven't taken care of that first one, the other parts don't matter. So that quote to me is everything. I share about it every time that we talk about third step or the 11th step in a meeting. I will continue sharing about it till the day I die, because that is everything to me. So let's move on. Let's look a little bit further. All right. So it says, you know, the next part of it is the power to carry it out. What is God's will for us? And the power to carry it out. Now, this requires action. This requires more than just asking for, okay, what's my higher power's will? All right, I'm getting guidance on that. Okay, my higher power's will is to do this. And then I'm just going to sit on my hands. No. The power to carry it out. That's why it says we're praying not just for knowledge of his will for us, but also the power to carry it out. The power to do that thing that's scary. The power to apply for school, to pay off those loans, to buy a house, to start a podcast, whatever it is. Whatever it is, it takes that action. And that action can be scary. That action can be scary, you know, especially for somebody like me. I can say for a fact, you know, I still struggle with procrastination and laziness and overanalyzing and perfectionism. So when I pray for guidance to align my will with my higher powers and the power to carry it out, I'm praying again to have those character defects minimized, hopefully removed. Because if I'm living in those character defects, I'm living in self. And if I'm living in self, I'm not living in my higher power's will. Simple as that. So again, it requires action. It's not just about getting the knowledge. It's about seeing what that next step is and what action and footwork we need to put into it to proceed. So one of the things that I love that it talks about later on in the reading is it talks about, you know, how our needs change. When we first come into the program, you know, our prayers and our needs are going to be a lot different than what our prayers and what we believe our needs are later on. You know, when we first get in the program, our needs seem so important and they're so selfish. I know for this addict it was, you know, I admit that when I first started praying, I definitely prayed for some selfish shit. There's still times that I might have a selfish thought pop into my prayer stream. Sometimes, you know, the prayer feed gets a little garbage. That's just how it is. Sometimes it's super spiritual and then it just boop. I don't know where that came from. Sometimes it happens, but that's okay. I'm not perfect. Humility. But the needs that we have start to change. You know, the needs that we have become much less selfish. And when we remove the selfish part from our spiritual, you know, what we think our spiritual needs, we start to develop that spiritual strength. And it says in the literature that is where our real true strength is in all the steps of recovery, is that spirituality. That's why it's so commonly said that it's not a religious program. It is a spiritual program. Because that spiritual strength that we can rely on is far surpassing what my strength would be. Period. I could look like The Rock. I could be out here deadlifting 1,100 pounds like that mountain motherfucker from Game of Thrones. But the strength that I can harness from the spirituality is going to far surpass that. Far surpass that. Because then it becomes strength inside. It ain't just going to be this strength. It's going to be this strength. It's going to be this strength. Sorry, I remember some people aren't watching this. I just flexed, said it's not going to be that. Then I just touched my chest and said it's going to be that and touched my head and said it's going to be that. You all should come watch a live stream. Anyway, so that's why, you know, that strength truly is our greatest asset. For me, my spiritual strength is my greatest asset. But that doesn't mean I always rely on it. I can admit that. There have been times in my recovery that I have not been good about prayer. There have been a lot of times in recovery I'm really not good about meditation. But what do? I will say I was a lot better at meditation when I was going to the gym, because I would go after the workout, go sit in the sauna and meditate for 10 to 12 minutes. That's what I would do. Haven't been doing that. So I've set reminders on my phone, and then I set reminders for the reminders, and then I still don't do it. So I started making a commitment that every Wednesday night I'm going to go to a meditation meeting, because that's going to force me to meditate, because I want to have that spiritual growth that I see other people in the program who, you know, meditate every day, twice a day. That's not where I'm at. That's not my story yet. Even my daily prayer isn't the best. I want to try and pray in the morning and pray in the evening at least. But sometimes I don't do that. I want to get better at each day just sitting with my thoughts. But sometimes I don't do that. So I have room for improvement on this. And one of my favorite things about doing this segment on this podcast is it shows me the aspects of my recovery that I need to work on, while also being able to carry this message out to others and show my experience, strength, and hope, and show what I need to work on. So that's the 11th step. All about that conscious contact, developing that spirituality, and it really is an amazing step. Takes a lot of effort and work, especially on a daily basis, especially if you're somebody like me, but the rewards are plentiful. Plentiful. That is definitely, yes, plentiful. So that's what we got for this week. Next week, we are going to be on step number 12. Absolutely crazy that we have worked all the way through almost 12 steps, no fronts, but almost all the way through the 12 steps. It's pretty fucking cool. All right. So next segment. It is time for my favorite moment of the week. Now, this part of the show is where we discuss something from life, sports, pop culture, news, you know, Instagram, just things that have happened over the last week. And I talk about what my favorite part was. This is definitely a part of the show where we talk about a lot of my opinion. This is, again, my opinion, this addict's opinion on what was the coolest part of this last week for me. And, you know, if you have anything that you might want to add, make sure that I see, because it was pretty cool, send it on over. I love interactions. Hit me on Instagram, whatever.
Keep sending me those fire TikToks, everybody, please.
I'm never going to get on TikTok. Not once, not ever. Not getting on TikTok.
But keep sending them to me, please. Thank you. Matthew at cleanandfilthypodcast.com.
All right, cool. We got that out of the way. I don't know what just happened. I think we glitched out for a second. Cool. We're back. So let's go over some moments. We kind of changed this up, but it's not just one moment. You know, there have been a lot. I like going over, looking at the last week, and there were some pretty cool moments. I'll say that. First thing, I went and got my second vaccine. So I am officially vaccinated. Didn't have really any side effects. I had a little bit of headache the next day for, I mean, most of the day, but not like debilitating, just like, it's there. It wasn't, you know, like some horrible thing. And I had a tiny bit of shoulder pain, but not even like, not any more than what I would normally have from working shoulders, which I had done the day before. So there's that. But now it brings up that element of like, okay, so what's next for me? What's life going to look like now that I'm vaccinated? Especially now that like the CDC just came out and said like, hey, if you're outside and you're with other vaccinated people, you don't need to wear a mask. Yeah, it's bringing up anxiety in me, bro. Like I'm feeling some kind of way about like, well, what's the next step? I'll admit that for the last year, it's been kind of nice not having to worry about that. Is it kind of nice not having to balance anything of like going out? And I love being around people. And I'm not saying that I don't love the idea of being able to see people. But in the same sense, it's a little stressful. It's stressful. And it's weird. The social of a person as I am, not having been in social settings is a weird thing. So I don't know what's going to be next. Trying to figure it out. Thankfully, I have like 10 more days because they say not to, you know, really go out until you've had, you know, the 2 weeks after the injection. So I still got like 10 more days and I can figure it all out in the 10 days. Hooray. All right. Next off, there were some amazing memes on Instagram about this supposed red meat ban that's going to be coming out. Like, oh my God, I cannot. I'm just going to leave it at that. Ridiculous. Also, I love this meme that was put up. And it said, if you have $86,400 in your bank account and somebody steals $10 from you, are you going to just let that ruin your whole day? Because that's the same thing that it comes to our time. There's 86,400 seconds in every single day. And if somebody fucks up 10 of those seconds, is it really something to ruin your day? And I will admit, in the past, that was me. That was me. But now by having a different perspective, that doesn't seem that consequential. I will say, however, if that same $10 or maybe $100 or $1,000 is taken out consistently, then we got a problem. Then that's something I need to look at. But if it's 10 bucks and I'm sitting with 86 plus in the checking account, it's just not a big thing. It's just not. For me personally, I love that meme. Shout out to that meme. Next up, again, I had such great plans. I had such great plans. Oscars was this weekend. I had a whole thing where I was going to just be able to do one final shout out to Chadwick Boseman for just being him and performing amazingly, even with stage 4 cancer and all these things. And, you know, as what happened with the Grammys, best laid plans, boop, there they go. So I can't say that Chadwick Boseman got, you know, cheated because I haven't seen The Father. And I love Anthony Hopkins. It was probably fire. So he probably deserved the win. But The L for the show was the fact that the Academy decided to change it up. And rather than having it be the movie of the year, as it has always been, they decided to change it to be actor. All because they wanted to have that, you know, final moment send off for Chadwick Boseman. And that was a bad look, in my opinion. That was a bad look. Like, obviously, they didn't know who was going to win, especially after that whole Hollywood Land Moonlight saga from a few years ago. But to have that just made it a bad look. And I'll admit, I really wasn't that excited about the Academy Awards this year. Like, not being out and seeing many of the movies that had come out. I mean, I saw a couple of them, but it was just kind of meh to me this year. But one thing that was amazing, one thing that was amazing was UFC 261. Woo! So many thanks. First off, it was the first UFC back with live fans. Personally, I wouldn't have been there, but it was exciting to see a stadium full of fans. Also, in my opinion, a lot of stupidity. But alas, what can you do? I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not going to talk about any Florida man things because I got family in Florida and I love Florida, but also it's Florida. That just seems so dumb to me. But it was cool. It was exciting. I've been watching UFC events with nobody in the stands for the last year, and to have a crowd full of people booing Jake Paul, a crowd full of people just losing their collective minds at the things that occurred, that was amazing. So, shout out to Valentina Shevchenko. Great win, dominating, crucifix, boom, got him. Huge shout out to Thug Rose, Nama Yunus. Always really liked her. I loved before the fight, she was just standing there as she was being announced saying, "I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best." Just that visualization of it, and came out and did it. It's beautiful. It was also funny afterwards. Her and Valentina had a conversation, and Valentina was like, "Just keep your skinny ass down at 115. Don't come up to my weight class." Gotta say, I mean, Kamaru Usman's performance against Jorge Masvidal was wow. Without a doubt, gave us the best Joe Rogan, Daniel Cormier, John Anik reaction probably of all time. I cannot wait to see the memes that are going to be coming out from that. That was absolutely fire. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Kamaru Usman, top fighter pound for pound? I think he might be, at least until we see what happens with Bones at you know, heavyweight. So, but then we get through all that excitement and the moment that had everybody collectively going, was poor Chris Weidman's leg. In case you aren't familiar with it, in case you haven't been on Instagram or Twitter or any main sporting anything for the last, you know, few days, Chris Weidman went to throw on the very first strike of the evening, went to throw a low kick and his fibula and tibia snapped, just boop, snapped, completely snapped. And then he pulled his leg back and tried to plant on it, and it was... oh, it was bad. It was very, very bad. And what's interesting about it is 8 years ago, the exact same thing happened against Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman was fighting Anderson Silva, and Anderson Silva did the exact same thing, the exact same way, and 8 years later happened to Chris. Curious if we're going to get another Eminem lyric out of it, because Eminem had an amazing verse that he mentioned the whole Anderson Silva thing on Caterpillar off Royce da 5'9's album. Amazing song. Maybe we'll get another one from this, but shout out to Chris. He's officially healing up. Things are going well. He's doing a lot better. So hooray for that. But now we're going to get to my favorite moment of the week. And I apologize in advance. Y'all are going to come along as I nerd out a little bit. And I've said before, this is not a Marvel podcast, but it's going to become a Marvel podcast for this segment. Again, this is my favorite moment of the week. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I do. And this, we got to talk about it. We need to talk about the finale of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. First off, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you have not seen the show or you have not seen the finale, turn off now. Go watch, come back. Because it was fire. It was so well done. Seeing how the story developed and the pacing is what I really liked. Like, the pacing felt very even throughout the whole show as the character arcs were growing. Seeing the growth between Sam and Bucky was huge. And it was so different from WandaVision, which I loved WandaVision. I really, really, really liked it. But this was so much more of a typical superhero show. And it didn't require you to, like, Google the interwebs for days afterwards trying to figure out if that one little thing that Wanda did with their one little movement has some meaning that's going to impact the MCU for 30 years. So that was cool. It was much more cut and dry in a lot of ways. And I like that. So what were some of the best moments? So we ain't just talking about the finale here. We're going to go through the whole show. We're just going through the whole show. Boom. Best moments. Getting more of characters from past MCU experiences, such as George St. Pierre being back as Baltrak the Leaper. I don't really think he was called the Leaper in the show, but whatever. That was fire. Sharon Carter coming back and her transition to the Power Broker. What? Need to know more about that. And the Wakandan connection. Oh, I loved it so much. We got more of the Dora Milaje. That was everything. But the best character that we got more of was Zemo. We got Zemo with the purple ski mask. We got Zemo with the fur up on the collar. We got Zemo doing the dance in the club. Daniel Brühl is an amazing actor. I've always loved him, even when I hated him. He made it to where, for about 2.5 episodes, you forgot that this was a really, really bad guy who really, really killed a lot of people. You forgot about that. And that's great acting to me. That's great writing. That's great acting to where you can be so into a character and the vibe within that character that you just are like, well, I mean, is he really that bad of a guy? Like, I mean, okay, yeah, maybe he murdered a few people. But look at his dancing and his Turkish delights and his bathrobe. Like, bruh, great, great acting. Another thing I loved, we got new characters and new places. We got John Walker as Captain America. Possibly, you know, seeing where this leads. We now know he's a U.S. agent. That's exciting for me. This is growth within the MCU. And that shot of him with the shield before he was stripped of his rank and transition with beaten dude and covered in blood, everything, everything, everything. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Another huge thing, Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. She's incredible as an actress. I will admit, I had no fucking clue who that character was. I immediately hit the Googles and did some research. Cool. Really excited about where that whole element with the U.S. agent, that whole thing, it's gonna take us some next levels. I'm not even going to speculate on that. But and then finally, Madripoor. Having that place introduced has to be the mutant connection. It has to be. We're going to get mutants. I'm telling you right now. We're going to. Very soon. Very, very soon. Also, the more in-depth humanized look on the blip, you know, what happened after the snap, what actually happened, and the human perspective that we got within the Flag Smasher's cause. I thought that was a really cool thing because so often, you know, we're just seeing these superheroes just running around, saving the world, destroying cities. But, you know, the mission gets accomplished and we don't look at a lot of the humanistic elements of it. And I thought that they did a really good, you know, dive into that, you know, looking at the what the governments were doing to now accommodate all these billions of people that just unsnapped. I think personally, that was a really cool thing. Also really loved watching Bucky's amends process. There was definitely some recovery inspired dialogue in there. I don't know if y'all caught it, but I definitely did. Like when him and Sam were talking and Sam's just like, yep, mm-hmm, talking straight recovery fire. It was awesome. Absolutely loved it. Also, probably my favorite moment of the finale was when the final credits changed from saying Falcon and the Winter Soldier to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Because even though we knew that that's where it was going to go, to see that was just, it was just everything in so many different ways, not just from an MCU standpoint, but from a society standpoint. You know, seeing how his character as the Falcon, you know, Anthony Mackie's character has grown from the dude who's getting passed on your left in Captain America and the Winter Soldier to now being Captain America. Like, with the comic pretty correct uniform? Huh. Like, this Marvel fanboy? Yeah. Yeah. Like, that, to me, is amazing. And what I loved is how they fully embraced the concept that Captain America isn't a person. It's a symbol. It's a title that embodies specific morals and codes and values. That to me is so important, because that's what the character is. That's why it doesn't matter if it's Sam or Steve. It doesn't matter if he's black or white. It doesn't matter what. He's Captain America, period. And unlike Iron Man or Loki or Hulk, who are a person, not a title, they don't carry a mantle with them. And so I like that they really emphasize that. And I'm not saying that, you know, that Sam's going to be a better Captain America than Steve. I'm not saying he's going to be worse, but he's going to be Captain America, period. You know, like the speech that he gave at the end, where he's a person driven by values and morals, even against the hate, which there's a lot of the hate. That to me was such Steve Rogers and perfectly embodied what Captain America truly is, and all of the things that John Walker as Captain America was not. They did a great job of building that. But we got to really look at the fact of how important it is in a society standpoint. A black man is Captain America, not the black Captain America, not the black Falcon becoming Captain. No, he is Captain America. And like, I love that they actually brought the dialogue in about that topic. That they discuss, like Bucky says to him, he goes, I'm sorry that we just bestowed this on you. We didn't even consider the things that you would be looking at or that would affect that the ramifications of being Captain America as a black man in the U.S. That's something we didn't even consider. And I love that they acknowledge that. And I love the conversation that developed between Isaiah and Sam, and really looking at the fact that there's a lot of issues within that, you know, and the fact that he is Captain America from a society standpoint is huge. You know, this is a black actor who is one of the leading characters in all of Marvel. And people say, yeah, but there already was, you know, Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, T'Challa. Yes, but that's different. In my opinion, that's different. Then that's beautiful in itself. But having a king from an African nation is not going to be dealing with the same things that a black man in the U.S. is going to. And so I think, like, having Captain America going through the same struggles that so many countless people in our country go through is such a beautiful thing. Like, even the scene that they had where, you know, early on before, you know, when he was still just the Falcon, even though, damn, being Falcon would be so cool. But even in that scene where the cops come over and harass him, that in itself is speaking to, you know, the struggles that we face in this country on a daily basis. And I'm not an expert to speak on this, but I see it so often, and it's so sad and such a need for change. And some people are like, man, you know, whatever. He was Captain America in the comic books forever ago. Yes. But a lot of people don't read comic books. A lot of people don't know about the things that occurred in the comics. To have one of the biggest characters be portrayed as, you know, true to the comic books by a black dude is huge. It's absolutely huge for the progress, you know, and maybe it's not as huge as, you know, we need there to be, but it's something. And I'm excited, man. I'm really excited about, you know, all of the ability to have. I can't wait to have my Captain America shirt with him. You know, I like that new element. Just like I can't wait to have a Thor shirt when it's a female. Like, that to me is an exciting thing. Seeing, you know, the world expand and grow in ways that some people might not be totally comfortable with, but is a good thing for the country, for social justice. And I'm not saying that Marvel is going to create, like, it's going to, you know, fix all the social justice issues. Obviously not. But it's something. And sometimes that's really all we can hope for, is something. And I really hope Captain America 4 has a good amount of Bucky in it. And yeah, I'm just excited about that. I'm really excited about that. But we got to talk about, what didn't I like? What wasn't the vibe of the show? Only 6 episodes, bro? What? That's not cool. I could have watched 12 easy. Only good thing about it is that I can easily go back and binge all 6 of them very quickly, and I plan to. Next thing, I understand why, but the term and that the villains of being the Flag Smashers was so cringy to me. I don't know why. Just there, and I get it. It was an homage to the original villain Flag Smasher, who was Carl Morgenthau. So they made the leader Carly Morgenthau. That's cool. I like that vibe. But there are certain things from, like, comic book past, you know, history that when they come up again are just massive cringe. Like, and for whatever reason, that one for me just sounds like my son decided to name the villain. Like, Flag Smasher. Okay, cool. That's what we're going with, I guess. So didn't love that, but it is what it is. But the last thing we got to talk about in terms of a negative is, can somebody teach Sam how to fight? Like, for real. I read a great article about this, where he is just getting served and has been since the beginning of his time in the MCU. Absolutely destroyed by Crossbones, smashed by Bucky multiple times. Flag Smashers were smashing him. Even Spider-Man, when he just got his powers, like, brand new, newest of all the superheroes, thrashed him. Granted, he also thrashed Winter Soldier. That whole scene was over the top. Whatever. But can somebody teach this dude something? He's got wings. Barely uses them. Somebody teach him something. Like, bring in Iron Fist, bring in Daredevil. Just bring in Daredevil, have him, like, go away on, like, a 2-week, you know, training camp. Because at this point, I think Jake Paul has better hands than Falcon. I'm sorry, than Captain America, and that's a problem. We can't have that, because Captain America has hands. Captain America throws down. I can do this all day. That's what I'm saying. So we need to work on that. But that was my favorite moment of the week. We're running behind today because we have lots to talk about. So hopefully I didn't lose too many people there. If you haven't watched the show, go check it out. It was amazing. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Cannot wait for Loki in June. Hate that I have to wait till June for Loki. But that's what we got for my favorite moment of the week. Next up.
It's time to Ask an Addict with your host, Matthew M.
That's right. Our next segment is called Ask an Addict. And this is the time of the show where we answer different questions asked by our viewers and listeners. And I am an addict, so I'm the resident addict here. Again, this is Experience, Strength, and Hope with some of my opinion. Some of the things I'm going to discuss are, you know, kind of, I don't want to say fact, but they're not my opinion. They're, you know, what I have picked up over Experience, Strength, and Hope and from other people. And other things are going to be my opinion, but I'll kind of differentiate when that comes up. So if you have a question that you would like to have answered on air, make sure to send it over to Matthew at cleanandfilthypodcast.com, and we will add it to be answered next week. First off, somebody asks, why, like, when I'm talking about using, do I usually use the term loaded instead of saying I got high or I smoked this or I snorted this? And the reason for that goes to the topic of unity. Goes to the topic of not wanting to be drug specific. Because if I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm talking about, you know, I went and drank this or I went and snorted this, and somebody else in the meeting that has never done that substance or done that substance in that way can start seeing the differences instead of the similarities. If I simply use a term that I got loaded, that could mean anything. That could mean I snorted something, I drank something, I injected something, I put something up my butt, whatever. I got loaded. So that using that term instead of, you know, a specific drug, you know, specific term allows us to focus on unity, to focus on that common, you know, commonality that we have in recovery, which is we are just addicts with the disease of addiction. I'm not a this addict or a that addict or a this kind of way addict. I'm an addict, period. That doesn't need to be anything else. And I'll admit, especially early on, that was a weird concept for me. You know, I don't know if it was just an ego thing or what, but having that, you know, having my shares would discuss a lot more of drug use and how I used. And there are still times that comes out. You know, sometimes when I'm sharing in a meeting, if I'm trying to identify, you know, if I'm sharing in a treatment center, it might be a little different than how I'm going to share in, you know, a regular meeting, because I'm trying to get that level of identification. But at the end of the day, all that matters is that we're addicts. It doesn't matter what the substance was. It doesn't matter how much or how little you used, how you used it. All that matters is that we're addicts. So that's the reason why, you know, I try for the most part when I'm speaking, you know, in meetings or on this, you know, or even to other people, I will try to use the term loaded. When I say loaded, it could mean high, drunk, stoned, whatever the drug specific pseudonym would be. That's what that means. It's just it is the exact same thing as being loaded. So that is the reason for that. I know that that can be a little, another one of those terms that can be a little confusing. People are like, but what does that mean? Loaded means high, drunk, anything else. That's what that means, is adding a substance to my body is me getting loaded. So mind-altering, mood-changing substance to my body is me getting loaded. So there you go. I know there was some confusion about that. I had somebody like was like, wait, what? But that is why, you know, in recovery, we say loaded so that we don't distance ourselves from anybody else's experience, strength, and hope, or anybody else's story. We want to find as many common, you know, denominators as we can. We want it to be a group effort together, not, you know, oh, well, this group of these people who use this drug in this way, and then these people that use this kind of drug in this way. No, because it doesn't matter. We just want to be there for each other, period. As addicts, helping addicts, period. So that's the reason for that. Next question I got was, why do I not have a co-host? Why is this podcast just me? So I will say that, you know, I would like to do something with another, you know, with another person at some point. Ooh, that didn't sound right.
Phrasing.
I would like to host a podcast with somebody else at some point. Currently, with the pandemic and, you know, all of the things that were going on in the world, that just wasn't really feasible. You know, I knew that this would be something that I could put effort into and drive into and could, you know, with the help and support of others, obviously, but could start. I didn't need to rely on somebody else on a week-to-week basis, because I wanted to do this every week and I wanted to do it live. So because of that, having to line up somebody else's schedule and somebody else's time or somebody else's, you know, what if somebody else's life on life terms that could easily come up wasn't something that I really wanted to undertake at first, because that adds extra stress, that adds extra elements of worry and like, okay, well, this my co-host is running 10 minutes late. What do I do? Because we're on a live stream. We don't tape early. You know, it would be one thing if it was just I record the episodes on Saturday and we put them up whenever, you know, then that wouldn't be as big of a thing. But because this is live and it's been live every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. since we started, and it's going to continue that way, having that extra element wasn't something I wanted to worry about. And I can admit there probably is some element of control in there as well. Some element of maybe not like direct negative control of like, this is mine, meh, as much as it's the ability to know that if this is going to fail, it's going to be because of something that I've done and something I've said, not because of something that my co-host said or something my co-host tweeted out or, you know, that to me is the kind of control that I mean, is that I'm able to, you know, to know what's going into this from a pretty decent way. Maybe not perfectly, because half the time I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say, but and I could very easily, you know, say or do something that could, you know, get this whole thing canceled as well. But we're hoping not, you know, hopefully that spirituality is going to stay strong as long as I can keep working on my 11th step. So that's why, you know, I don't really, at this point, I would like to host a podcast with somebody else. I think it would be fun. I am thinking of and looking at ways to do interviews and have guests and those type of things. Haven't exactly figured that out yet, but, you know, it's definitely on the agenda. So that's why. All right. So next question we got is, what is a closed meeting and what is an open meeting? Now, if you're new to recovery and you're wanting to go to a meeting and you see something, or maybe maybe you aren't sure you're an addict, but you're curious about it. You're like, I want to see what this meeting's all about. Most meetings are going to be open meetings. Open meetings are open to anybody. If you want to go to one of those, maybe you're just there for support. You want to go with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your kid, and you just want to go to support. That's awesome. Please go. We love support in the rooms. Please go and support. And if you're introducing yourself, just say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here as support. That's all you got to do. But if you want to go, you know, and see if you're an addict, maybe go there and say, yeah, I think I might be an addict. Cool. Good job. But that's what's perfically acceptable at an open meeting. Anybody can show up. I've had meetings that I was chairing that we had, you know, people that were doing their like doctorate program that needed to audit some social work, some kind of credit or some shit. And they just sat there and just were chilling. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, that's perfectly fine. But not at a closed meeting. A closed meeting, and it will always say it specifically on whatever meeting list you're looking at, you know, you'll usually have a C next to the meeting. A closed meeting is for addicts only. And this is, you know, I think I've been to one closed meeting ever. I've gone to open or close. It's not a big deal. But there are certain people that don't feel comfortable being at an open meeting. And that might be, you know, maybe they're a celebrity or maybe they're a, you know, a judge or something that there's more weight behind it if they are seen at a meeting. So they don't want to go to an open meeting, and that's perfectly fine. That's why we have closed meetings. But a closed meeting is only for addicts, period. If you aren't sure if you're an addict or not, you know, I would recommend going to an open meeting first and get some idea, get some understanding, you know, and just see what it's all about and then kind of go from there. So that's the difference between an open and a closed meeting. That's something that, you know, has definitely come up before. Thankfully, like most of the meetings I've gone to have all been open meetings, so it really hasn't been a problem. And to me, I know I'm an addict. I have no problem admitting that. And I'm going to share the same way, whether it's in front of addicts or only or, you know, the general public. Obviously, that's kind of why we're doing this. This is the general public and I'm sharing the exact same way. So that is the difference between those two things. So we got another question we're going to get to next week because we're already running out of time, but we got to get to them clean time shout outs. All right, before we get to those, if you do have any questions, make sure to send them over either on any of the social medias or, you know, through Matthew@cleanandfiltypodcast.com, and we will answer your questions. But now it's time for the clean time shout outs. This is the time of the show that I get hype AF every single week because I love clean time. Here's where we recognize various members of recovery who have achieved a milestone. These are universally recognized milestones within the fellowships, as well as we like to do some other things. So those are a newcomer, which is 29 days or less, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months, multiple years. Those are the key tags that, you know, are the universally accepted. But we also like to give other shout outs because I love giving shout outs. So we give other ones for big numbers, whole numbers, 100 days, 500 days, 1,000 days, any of those things, just to, you know, remind everybody that we're, you know, that every day clean is a miracle and is a successful day. So we got to be congratulated for those things. So first and foremost, we got two newcomers this week. We got Kimberly with a newcomer. Well done. And then we've got Lauren as a newcomer. Well done. The next up with 90 days, we got Kayvon. Yeah, well done. And next with 200 days, we got Mike and Oldies. And then with 18 months clean, we got Stacy. That's a boop and a half there. Well done. And then finally, with 9 years clean, my sponsee brother, Earl. Boop, 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 boop. Almost got that 10-piece, my brother. Well done. Well done. In case you weren't realizing, we give them boops for each year. So that's what we do here. So again, congratulations, anybody who picked up time today. If you didn't pick up time, don't use. And guess what? You will. That's how this works. So if you have a clean time coming up between now and next week's episode, make sure to send it over to me. Or right on our website, we've got a contact us page. You can just put your name, your last initial, how much time you're celebrating. You can also ask questions there as well. And we can make sure to get you a clean time shout out on next week's episode. Because remember, every day clean is a successful day and every day clean is a miracle. So we got to recognize those miracles, right? That's what we do. If we recognize those miracles, we'll stay grateful. So we are officially out of time, y'all. It's a great episode. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Shout out to everybody who's watching live right now. Shout out to everybody who downloads this wherever you consume your podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, share, tweet, retweet, all that. Help us grow. Huge thank you again to our episode sponsor, Etc. by Emily. All our info below. Huge thank you to Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland, and Mad Deesa Records for allowing us to use anything. All that download information below. And if nobody's told you today they love you, I love each and every one of you. Thanks for being a part of my recovery. See you next week, y'all.